the heart and a new mind, which is part of the whole thing, because the soul has at least two parts to it, or two attributes to it, and that's the logical part, which we call the mind, and the emotional part, which we call the heart. But we got to serve him with the whole soul, with both parts. Amen. So part two today, we're going to talk about the mind and maybe get into the heart. Ephesians 4:22 says that he put off concerning the former conversation. And when you see conversation in the New Testament, it means lifestyle. Got to put off that old lifestyle, which is corrupt. It is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. As I said, I don't know which class I said, the heart is deceitful. Sometimes what we think we want and will give us happiness, when we get it, it doesn't. It's the deceitfulness that comes. But here's the verse, and it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, you'll hear all kinds of teaching, and probably in the new year, I'll do a Tuesday night in-depth teaching on body, soul, and spirit. Next month, since December, we'll probably do a Christmas theme, firstborn. But in the new year, we'll go back to some deeper subjects. But I just want to touch on body, soul, and spirit, because you hear so much different teaching. And if you don't have a good model understanding of it, it makes it a little bit hard to define. Now, there are many words that are used in both the Old and New Testament for body, soul, and spirit, and the whole creation thing. And I'm just going to touch on it before we get into the mind part. As you know, I've taught that unregenerated man is just a body and soul. But regenerated man is a body, soul, and spirit. And in this little graphic illustration, the body is a vessel for the soul, which is a vessel for the spirit. And that models the tabernacle, right? The outer court represented the body, the holy place represented the soul, and the holy of holies was the spirit. And in this model, the soul, or in the Greek it's called the psuche or the psyche, that's where the mind, the will, and emotions, and that's where our self-consciousness, our self-identity comes from. And then the spirit is where the God consciousness comes from. And John 4:24 tells us about worshiping in spirit and in truth. So we have to understand that if we're going to be renewed, we have to understand all the parts that involve renewal. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace sanctify you. And we did a whole study on sanctification. And sanctify means set apart. So God has to set us apart. And with there's two places, there's two parts to that set apart, because I'm going to show you, you can divide salvation into kind of two viewpoints. God sets us apart, but also we are supposed to stay set apart. There is something for us to do. And if you want God's blessing in your life, if you want God's power in your life, if you want to be truly renewed, you have to be set apart. Paul here is speaking to Christians. So these are regenerated believers. That's why he's using all three parts. If he was speaking to people who are not saved, then this would not be a valid scripture. But he's saying, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body. And as I've pointed out before, do you see that he uses the creation order? That was no accident. Usually when we speak, we say what? Body and soul. But if you look at Paul, you go to Genesis, as I've described it, he's using the creation order. First the spirit, and the soul, and the body. Be preserved blameless. Now, he never said perfect. This flesh will not be perfect, but through Christ Jesus, it can be blameless. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That is such an awesome scripture. That is such an awesome scripture. If we could internalize that and just claim that, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not. It's not because I'm innocent. Oh, no. But the judge has said, dismissed, paid in full. Someone has come and paid my fine. Someone has come and paid your debt. You ever had a bill you thought you owed and found out It was taken care of. Can you imagine? Can you remember how you felt? You go like, wow, I got some more money. You know? Jesus has taken care of the biggest debt that ever was that we could never have ever paid. You've heard my testimony about my mortgage and how they just said 30-something. You beat me this time, but mine was only $32,000. And they just said, you're current with your mortgage. We've erased that debt. If we could understand that God has erased the debt of sin, and so we should be renewed, we should be joyful. Christians should be the most joyful people. A lot of times we walk around like this, like Jesus never took our burden. Like we're carrying around all of the weight. You know what? I don't know if it's my personality, but I refuse to look at any glass as half empty. For me, it's always half full. Because whatever I get, I didn't even deserve that. You know what I say when people ask me how I'm doing? Anyone know what I say? Better than I deserve. That's my attitude, because I don't deserve nothing. You don't deserve anything. But for the grace of God. So here Paul is speaking and he's saying that the God of peace, sanctify, set you apart. See, if you want your body, soul, and spirit to be preserved blameless, you can't let it get contaminated in everything. Because stuff will drag you down. You know, when you leave here today, you can have had a great service. And that right now the devil is plotting. How can I take away their joy? How can I take away their blessing? And he's plotting already. Well, I think they're just going to go home and they're not going to be with anybody, so I can't get them today. Maybe tomorrow when they go out to work or start to interact. Something. The devil's already plotting how to take away your joy. You could have heard some great testimonies today. And the devil's already plotting. See, that's why you have to be sanctified, set apart. Keep yourself away from some negative people. some negative people, some negative situations. You just need to stay away from them, because they're going to just give you a little word and that'll just make you go, oh. Amen. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I said before, I really want to talk about a new mind. I'll just go through the model again. And this is how I teach it. And I've heard all kinds of people teach that the spirit that we were given never died. And of course, the Bible sometimes seems confusing because it speaks about the spirit of man and it speaks about the soul of man. But really, what it's speaking about is the same thing, and I'm not going to get into it today, but I could give you dozens of scriptures, and I will in the new year, which show you that when it's speaking about the spirit of man, it's the same as the soul of man, but it's one of context and emphasis. When the soul is outside of the body, it's more naturally called a spirit, but when it's inside the body, it's more normally termed a soul, but it's really the same thing. So, as I have said, and we've been over this verse so many times, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. And just for the sake of this example, showing your soul as a golden egg. Also termed the spirit of man, because it's not in a vessel yet. So as I taught Tuesday night, this is almost a little bit of a continuation, God created the soul, the spirit part of our nature. And then he formed a body. And all it was a dead body, because it was not animated. It was that ruach, that breath that God breathed, that took that body and formed it into tissue. But it was still dead, because he had not breathed any life into it. And so it says, and God breathed into his nostrils. And there's several words there that I won't go into all the details today, but in the new year I will. So just to show you, God breathed that soul into that body, and then he breathed a covering, and man became a son of God. So he breathed his word as the spirit covering. And that's exactly the way we can know that I'm right is that that's exactly what Jesus did. Isn't it? In John 17, the Bible says he did what? Breathed on them. But in the New Testament, it tells us what the breathing words were. What were the breathing words? Receive ye the Spirit. That's how we know in the Old Testament when it said God breathed on them, that's exactly what he was doing too. Receive ye the Spirit. And then it says man, that spirit encased in a body, became nephesh, a living soul. A living soul. And I wanted to just go over that again, because you'll hear all kinds of teachings about body, soul, and spirit. But unregenerated man is just a soul and spirit. It's when we receive the spirit that we receive becomes one with our soul, with our spirit of man, and we become one with God. He said that you may be one. Amen. But it is truly still God's spirit. It's still God's spirit. Now, the soul is made up of two parts. Your logical part, which we call the mind, and your emotional part, which the Bible speaks about the heart. And we have to serve God with both of them. Isn't that what the scripture says? Love the Lord thy God with all thy... Amen. We got to serve God with all of our being. Now, truly, that's impossible in the flesh. We can't do it. In this part of the body, we can't do it. But we can be on the journey to achieving that. The Bible says we go on to perfection. As I said Tuesday night, you can't give up and say, because I can't do it, I'm not even going to try. It's the journey. It's the willingness to follow. The Bible said that they followed him. These disciples followed him. And every person in the Old and New Testament that had a blessing from God, they were on a spiritual journey. See, and what we have to do is to look at our old thinking. This whole series is on a new creature. And what we're talking about, we're focusing on this week, is a new way of thinking. The old way of thinking. Describe some old way of thinking to me. Anyone? Stealing. The clue is what I taught on Tuesday night. After they lost their covering, what were they doing? Hiding. But why were they hiding? And why did they know they were naked? Yes. How did they know they were naked? All of us today, before we put on our clothes and brushed our teeth and combed our hair, what did we do? We looked at ourselves. That is the key to failure. It's what Satan did, right? The old thinking is I, me, myself. I, me, myself. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation. Anytime you see that word conversation, means lifestyle. In times past, in the lust of our flesh. That is doing what pleases me. I'm sure what pleased most of you this morning would have been to draw the covers. The bed is very warm on Sunday mornings, isn't it? It's so comfortable. Oh, they wouldn't mind. I go to church last week, Tuesday, Thursday night. It won't matter if I just... You see, that's what the flesh would like. Fulfilling, that's the old lifestyle, because, you know, that's what the flesh would like to do. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, and of the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath. See, the old thinking is always about me. Look at what Satan did in Isaiah 14:13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend. Now, we were at a baby shower in Indianapolis yesterday for my oldest son, and they gave us all pins. And the word we weren't supposed to say was baby. And I got all the way through to the, I call it, I think it was unfair. It was the end, but at the end I did say the word baby. But you know what's more difficult? I've seen it done with the word I. Now, that one, it's very hard. You go through a whole week without saying I. Can you do it? It's very difficult to go through even a conversation without saying I. But look at Jesus. He was always deflecting from himself. He was always saying, I do what I see the Father do, right? It was always about the Father's work. So our old thinking is because we don't have a covering, it's all about me, I, and myself. What pleases me? That's why you can always work out what someone is going to do in most situations, especially when I'm dealing with people at work or in life situation. You know what people do? They always do things what? In their own interest. It's a rare individual who will do something that will be against their own interest that favors you. So most of the time when you're in any kind of negotiation or interaction, you can pretty much work out where people are coming from. They're going to do what benefits them. Isn't that so? And in nations, in relations between nations, that's how nations work. They always do what's in their interest. That's how they work out, okay, what Russia's going to do. Russia's going to do what Russia sees as being in its interest. America wants to do what America sees it in its interest. But look at Jesus Christ. He came to do not what was in his interest. See, I'm trying to tell you what the new thinking is. The new thinking is to think more of others than we think of ourselves. Be renewed and change your old way of thinking. Now, it's not easy if you're going to listen to your flesh. You know, it's not easy if you're going to listen to your flesh. Why I smile, I just thought of something. You know, I don't know if I can use that example, but anyway. You have to do, you know, I'll use that example. My wife and I, you know, we're in love. But we're still in the flesh. We're still in the flesh. Now, one night last week after church, we went all the way home and I found out she had left her phone here. And it was like, I don't know, 11:30 or something. So in my flesh, I didn't really want to go. I really didn't want to go, but I went. Now, she does a whole bunch of stuff like that for me too. And so when you truly love God, the new thinking isn't that hard. Because you're thinking, how can I please him? How can I please him? You know, in your flesh doesn't want to do it. I mean, there's no good reason to leave a nice warm bed on a Sunday morning when it's 30-something degrees. Amen. But when you understand that you're coming to worship God, to thank him for getting you through another week, for lifting you up, for blessing you, then it doesn't become hard. You know, in fact, when the few times we've had to cancel Sunday, I feel strange. Because my whole life, I've been either brought to church or came to church my whole, you know, almost 60 years. You know, I've never not gone to church on a Sunday unless there was, you know, blizzard conditions. So this is God's day. I owe him thanks. And you know, what we can do is start to put down the old thinking. And the way you can tell whether you're old thinking, does it have I, me, and myself in there? Is it about me? You know, I forget who, I think it was Carly Simon wrote a secular song some years ago. It says, you think this song is about you, don't you? You all know the song, right? You're so vain. That's right. You think this song is about you. I think a lot of times we think that the world revolves around us and that God has to jump when we say jump, you know? But really, our attitude, and really what I'm trying to get to is we need to be looking at him. What would please God this week? What would make God happy? Because the Bible says that if a man please God, do we start the week with the new thinking saying, God, how can I please you this week? What would make God happy? Would you like to please God? Would you like God to be smiling down on you and have a smile every time he looks at you? When he just can you imagine how God felt when Satan came and said, you know, that old Job fellow. All God could do was just smile and say, have you considered my servant Job? No matter what you do to him, look at that fellow. He still worships me, though he's sick, though his children have died, though he's almost at the... I believe God was just looking at Job and smiling sweetly at Satan. Wouldn't it be great if we had that attitude tomorrow? New thinking. Be renewed in your mind. You know, usually when we get, I'm confessing too, we think about all the stuff we got to do. We go through a little mental list. Okay, I got to pay this bill this week. That's due on the 5th, the 6th, and I got to do this. And we don't ever say, Lord, what would you want? What would please you? You know, somewhere in that list, we know we're going to go to Bible study, or we're going to pray, or we're going to read this. But is he at the top of the list, or is everything about me, I, and myself? See, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature, our nature without regeneration is as children of wrath. Amen. So the key to regeneration, to new thinking, is the Holy Spirit. It's not by works of righteousness. It's not by coming to church, actually, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. That means renewal and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's through the Holy Spirit can we only really have a new mind, new way of thinking, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified, and yesterday we were trying to make up baby names, and Christopher and Jessica haven't come up with a name yet, so that left us free on our travels back to be suggesting names to them. So we, you know, trouble with naming babies, you can always think of somebody. And you say, nah, don't want that name. Nah, not that one. So I said to them, well, you know what? And I was just joking. I said, you could come up with, you know, if you want a name no one has, just come up with a combination of Christopher and Jessica, you know, like, what did we say? Jester. Jester. And I said, that name sounds a little bit like justified, you know, so. That being justified by his grace, just as if I hadn't done it. That's what justification is. Just as if I hadn't done it. By his grace, we should be made heirs. So the regeneration comes through the Holy Spirit by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Every time you hear a word, you're being regenerated. I hope that in the testimonies you hear and through the study today and the message that you are being washed, that you're being something is telling you, I can hold on a little bit. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to change my thinking. I'm going to put God at the top and say, Lord, before I go through my laundry list of stuff I got to do, Lord, what would you want me to do? Who would you want me to speak to? Is there someone I can pray for? Who was at church, who wasn't at church Sunday, who I normally see? I wonder if I can call that person or pray for that person. Wouldn't it be great if we put those things and change the old thinking? Let me show you the two aspects of renewal that I talked about in becoming a new creation. And I don't know if you've thought about it this way, but put this study with Tuesday nights and maybe it will have an impact. You see, becoming a new creation, I became saved from my sin. But I also am saved from myself. There's two parts to this. I told you that God sanctifies, but we also need to sanctify. The problem is, I have sinned. Solution, Christ died for me. Now here's where the lesson Tuesday night comes. Problem, I am a sinner. Solution, I died with Christ. Do you see the two parts of what I'm saying? Yes, Christ died for me. But if I really want to start to look at him and be regenerated, I also must die with Christ. Christ died for the whole world. But not everyone is dying with Christ. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Christ died for the whole world. And there's enough redemption to save the whole world. But it's only those who cross over and also die with Christ. Does his death mean anything? Does the mind and the body become regenerated? So becoming a new creation is salvation from my sin, but also for salvation from myself, I must die with Christ. The response is, we receive Christ and his forgiveness. That saves me from my sin. To save me from myself, believe that Christ is my life. Remember, now he is my covering. I don't see myself anymore. If I start seeing myself, I'm going to start getting guilty and condemned and feeling depressed about how I can't seem to make it. This is the two parts. A lot of us do well on the left part. We all believe that. But on the right part, where the regeneration comes in, that's where we tend to fall down. Believe that Christ is my life. I'm going to show you the scripture where Paul says, the life that I now live, I live by Christ. By grace I am forgiven. We all believe that. Saved from myself, I am given, by grace I am given new life. There's a difference. There are two aspects of salvation. The left-hand side is for the whole world. The right-hand side is for those that have been regenerated. And our walk, I tell you what, if we can execute the right-hand side, we'll all have a smile. If you believe Christ is your life, then this flesh that's walking around, Paul says, the life that I live is no more me. It's no more me. Although you see this, and I heard someone preach a message, dead man walking. Dead man walking. It's no more me, right? And if it's no more me, you can kick a dead body, it won't react, right? Someone hurts your feelings, you still be smiling. You know, that's how you know it's dead. They come up and they pinch the toes and they get no reaction. See, when we've truly died with Christ, when they smote him, he said nothing. He was like a lamb sheared, sheep led to the slaughter. He didn't answer. You know, when this flesh is really dead, people can say all kinds of things, and it goes in one ear and comes out the other. It doesn't stay. And you still love them. And you still hold them up. So the problem when we're saved from myself is I'm a sinner, but the solution is I died with Christ. In response, believe that Christ is now my life. And by grace, I'm given new life. And through faith, I say, thank you, Lord, I accept your forgiveness when we're saved by sin. And when I'm saved by self, I say, thank you, Lord, I accept that Christ is my life by faith. So there's two aspects to really coming to full regeneration. And it's really your thinking. Do you see that? It's how you look. It's really how you're looking at what God is. If you look just on the left-hand side, you're just putting it all on Christ, which is okay. But you need both. You need to also believe that Christ is my life. Now, I'm going to go ahead. Amen. I'm going to show that scripture. You got it. So I'm going to focus on the solution on this right-hand side, which says, I died with Christ. How do we die with Christ? Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, the life which I now live in the flesh. So here's how the new thinking. When you get up tomorrow morning, believe that everything you do in this, whether it's negative, whether it's not perfect, it's a dead man because Christ died in the flesh. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So that even though I'm not perfect in the flesh, through faith in his death, I'm perfect. That's new thinking. Stop condemning yourself. Because if you are, what you're saying is Jesus' death on the cross was not good enough. And if his death wasn't good enough, guess what? Nothing is good enough. He is able to save to the uttermost. You can't get beyond God's love for you. You can't get beyond to a place. There's only one sin that's unforgivable, and it's not easy to do. The people who nailed him on the cross didn't even do it. What did he say? Father, what? Forgive them. So he is able to save to the uttermost. The Bible says that we should have, in Hebrews it said, having our hearts sprinkled. Sprinkled so that you are washed with the blood. Believe that Jesus cleanses us from all. The scripture says, all what? Unrighteousness. And if you believe that, and I know I've been hitting that for weeks, you will walk with your head held high. You will have faith to go and pray for people. You will start to believe that you are a son of God, that you are a child of the King. When you believe that this flesh, all the bad deeds, all the negativity was crucified. Here's what Paul's saying. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it's not apparent because this flesh is still physically alive. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. What is faith? What's the definition of faith? The substance of what Paul was saying is not that I'm perfect, because if he was perfect, he wouldn't have needed faith. He's saying, I live by the faith. That means I believe the faith of the Son of God. He's not saying that I'm never going to do anything wrong. But it's covered by the blood. As long as I'm walking, as long as I'm going towards the goal. That's why he said, I press towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. I live by the... Yeah, because Jesus said, because I live, you shall do what? So all we have to do is believe in the faith, the Son of God. He says, because I live, you shall live also. So that goes into my next point. We have to be dying with Christ in the flesh, in his crucifixion, so that we can live. It says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Tomorrow morning when you get up, that's what you got to think. It's Christ that's living. If you need to tell yourself that, say it out loud. It's Christ that's living. It's Christ that's living in me. Whatever you do, good or bad, it's Christ that's living. And it, because Christ took your sins. He took your sins. They were laid upon him. It is no longer I who live. Do you believe that? All right, let's say it. It is no longer I that live. Say it out loud. Believe it. It is no longer I that live. You know, there's a power in saying it out. There is an actual power in saying that out. Declare it to the air tomorrow morning when you get up. Tell Satan, it is no longer I that live. Right? Just tell him that. What is he going to do if you say that? He's going to scratch his head and go, got to come up with a new plan. If they start believing this, we're in trouble, demons. If they start actually believing that Christ is living in them, then we're in trouble. But you know what we try and do? We try and live through the flesh. We need new thinking. So I live in this earthly body. This is the same scripture, but I'm giving it in a modern translation. This is what Paul was saying. So I live in this earthly body, which we got no other one right now. I have to. By trusting in the Son of God. And here's the thing that you got to trust. Who loved me? And gave himself for me. So this is the same scripture as the one before, but I put it in a new translation so that you could get it better. See, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Again, we're not saying that you do anything. That doesn't mean you give in to everything and say it's covered by the blood. Because what you're doing then is really crucifying and not respecting God's sacrifice. Paul says, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin? The Bible says you've got to think yourself dead to sin. Even if you still fail, think yourself, I'm dead to sin. If that part isn't quite dead, deaden it some more. If you've been reacting to stuff you shouldn't be, sit on it. You know, if you sit on your legs too long, after a while you try and get up and walk and it becomes dead. So if there's some parts of your Christian walk that's still reacting, find a way to deaden it. Do some prayer, some fasting. How we, knowing not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, when you were baptized, I told you, you're identifying the salvation part of baptism, the physical, is that you are identifying with this bodily death. Knowing not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Have you been buried with him in baptism? As I've been saying these last 2 weeks, don't be a grave robber. I'm guilty of that. I go and I dig up and look at my old man and start to say, woe is me, and I wish I was different. I wish I had more character. But you know, that's just my flesh, because I know that in myself, Paul says, there's no good thing. No good thing. No matter how much in myself will I try and be perfect, I could not. I cannot. So therefore, I should just give up and just say, Lord, you cover me. I'm going to believe that I have your breastplate of righteousness. You won't find that term in the Old Testament, will you? What was it called in the Old Testament, those of you who remember? Breastplate of judgment. Do you see what God has done? He's taken what was in the Old Testament called the breastplate of judgment, and in the New Testament, it becomes the breastplate of righteousness. And Paul tells us that we have to put on what? The whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, having our loins girded with truth and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then above all, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, when you have new thinking, you will look at yourself and say, I know this is difficult. Well, for me, it's difficult. I'm righteous. I find that hard to say. Because I have that problem. But if I've got the breastplate of his righteousness, then I am righteous. I am a new creature. The old things have... Preaching to myself today. Part of the mind of Christ, then, new thinking, is humility. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What part of the mind was he talking about? Humility. Who, speaking of Jesus, being in the form of God, in other words, he's saying, being God, I don't think any of us truly understand what it was that God did in becoming man. Like if you had $10 million and were living a life of luxury, what would make you go and live like a hobo for a year? Would any of us do that? Say, we're not going to use a penny, we're going to just survive on the streets for a year. Just to see what hope. None of us would do that. What God did was orders of magnitude above that. We have no comprehension. But the only thing we can come close to understanding is, for God so loved. As I've taught, that was the only way he could redeem us. So he did it. He did it. And the mind of Christ is first humble. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, who was very God himself, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself. You want to be blessed? Humble yourself. The Bible says he seeth the proud, what? Afar off. But he gives grace, and he exalteth those that are abased. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of, it says servant, but it's really a slave, and was made in the likeness of men. When I was doing this Bible study, I was trying to illustrate this point. And one of the pictures I was going to use showed a stable with the crib, you know, what they call it, a trough, where they feed the animals with the straw in it. And the label was king-size bed. King-size bed. Because it was the bed of the King of Kings. A king-size bed. You know, that's part of a new thinking is humility. humility. The Bible says we shouldn't think of ourselves above that we are. And the worst thing, I've always said, the very worst sin is pride. Anyone remember why I said that was the worst sin? Because you don't know you have it. If you kill someone, supposedly you knew you killed them. If you stole, you probably knew you stolen something. But if you're all stuck up and got your head up in the air, most people who are that way don't even realize how their attitude stinks. You know, so it's one of those sins that comes along and you think, man, I'm really God's gift. I can do this, I can do this, I can do the other. And you know what God in his mercy will do to you? You know when you have a bacterial infection or a cold, or what do you do when you go to the doctor? What do they do? When you get flu, you see it all over. Come in for a shot. You know what God will do? He'll give you a shot. That's what he did to Paul. There was given me a thorn, a shot, a needle in the flesh, so that I would not be exalted above measure. So we're talking about a new mind, and part of a new mind is humility, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that he was humble. The Bible said that if we had seen Jesus, you see these beautiful pictures of Jesus being in this white gown and all the disciples in all kinds of other colors, and you just know that that's Jesus. You got this handsome, you know, long-haired, you know, 6 foot tall. Yes? whatever color he was. But the Bible says that there was nothing that we should have looked at his appearance. In Isaiah 53, he did not look the way we would be thinking he looked. And especially after the torture of the cross, he was so disfigured. He was so disfigured, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Maybe this week part of new thinking is, how can I be a servant? You know, we're coming up to the end of the year and we're going to have communion. And when we have communion, we have that thing a lot of people don't like. We do the foot washing. And the reason is, it teaches us humility to wash somebody else's feet. A humble man makes room for progress. The proud man believes he's already there. The one thing there was many things I appreciate about my father. You know, when old people get old, they get very set in their ways. But my father never got set in his ways. Even in his 80s, he was flexible to learn new things. He would show me scriptures, new things that I'd not heard him say before. And that shows to me a humility. Don't teach me. I know it all. Let's never get to the point where we are not teachable. Where we think we got this. I love to hear great teaching. I will sit and listen to anything that is feeding my soul. See, we have to have new thinking, the mind of Christ, but made himself of no reputation. I challenge you this week, do a servant duty this week. Can you think of something that you could do this week that would be out of your normal thinking, that would force you to humble yourself? Because the Bible says, if my people that are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves. We want God to do all this stuff, but we won't actually do the steps that take us there. But made himself of no reputation. Now, the other thing about a renewed mind is the direction of a renewed mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above. I have no 5-year plan. I can't tell you. In fact, I probably don't even have a one. It's in one sense it's bad, but in another sense, all I'm doing is I'm really trusting God. I don't know what I will be doing in 5 years. My retirement is the rapture. That's my retirement. That's my retirement plan. I'm banking on the rapture. That's my investment plan. I mean, maybe that's foolish, but that is my direction. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Again, this thing about being dead. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, your covering, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him. Here, there's that thing again. We're in glory. He's our investment. He's the thing that we should be looking up at. Mortify, that means kill. Deaden, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. You know what can be an inordinate affection? I'm glad I'm not into this video games. There's some people I work with, you know, grown-up people at work that I work with. They spend hours online in all these competitions and spend thousands of dollars to get competition computers and screens and goggles. And it has become PS2 or whatever it is, Xbox has become their god. They sit in front of it and worship it. Evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things, anything that comes before God is idolatry. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall he also appear with him in glory. I think the difference between Saul, in the King Saul and David, was not in what they did. Because David, you could look at it, did worse than Saul. David committed murder. David committed adultery. And yet, God forgave him. Let's look at Psalms 121. David said, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. It's really a question. No. It's really a question. From whence cometh my help? No, not from the hills. My help cometh from much higher than the hills. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He's not saying his help comes from the hills, because in the hills is man. He's not going to get help from the men in the hills. His help is much higher than. If you're looking to your job, your family, your wife, your husband, the government for your help, they're going to fail you. They can have a restructuring, and I walk in Monday and they say, well, here's your pink slip. That's why I can't have a 5-year plan. I can't say, well, okay, I'm going to do this for the next 5 years. My retirement plan is heaven. That's true. I can honestly say my retirement plan is, I have no other, I've not made any provision other than heaven. Mortify therefore your members, that kill those parts that are still wanting to react. This is the direction. A direction of a renewed mind is heavenward. That's where the direction, my thoughts are thinking, Lord, how can I please you this week? What could I do? Servanthood. David showed this. I think this was the difference between him and Saul. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence? Is that where my help comes from? No. My help cometh from the Lord. You know, the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir turned this psalm into such a beautiful song. Because these psalms here, from I think 115 on, are called psalms or songs of ascents. That means of rising up. On feast days, the priests, the Levites, would lead a procession ascending into the temple. And they would be looking at the two pillars that were on the side of the temple. That was the only thing you could see from outside because of the walls. But even the common people could see the two pillars. One was called Boaz and the other one was called Yakin, and they mean strength and wisdom. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. No. They could see the hills surrounding Jerusalem. But they were looking at the dwelling place. I will look up. My help cometh from the Lord, which maketh heaven and earth. We got to set our affections not on the earthly things. Because if we do that, we're going back into the old thinking. I'm telling you that God will provide for you. He tells us, don't worry. Every hair of your head is numbered. I've got this. You know, I've got, and the more I've trusted him, the more he's proved it. He just comes through. It's not like I have a 2-year supply. I don't even have, I won't tell you how long a supply, but he gives us daily bread. And I've come to the point, at least with finances, that I try not to, because I've seen him do it so many times. So many times come through. Amen. So the direction of a renewed mind is heavenward. And how it's renewed, the Bible says, is through knowledge, through studying his word. But now he shall put off all these anger, wrath, that's the old man, put it off. Malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. You know, sometimes on Facebook you get friends of a friend who post some stuff and it's all filth and foul. I just go up there and I click it and I say, don't want to see this. Lie not one to another, seeing that he hath put off the old man with his deeds, and hath put on the new man, which is renewed, how? In knowledge. After the image. There's Paul using, going all the way back to Genesis 1, created in his image. The more you know about Christ, right? You are renewed in his image. Philippians 3:10, Paul was probably near the end. He was in Philippians, he was writing that from prison. He was already in Rome. He was near the end of his life. Now look what he says, that I may know him. You mean, Paul, you don't know him enough yet? No, it's a journey. I don't know him enough. That I may know him more and more and more. And Hebrew, that word is yada. It says, acknowledge him in all your ways. And that word there is yada, to know. It means to know him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths. The more you know, the more I've seen God, the more I know about him, the more I relax. The more I trust him, the more I think I have grown, because I've seen what he can do. I've seen how his word just fits together, that it's impossible that it could have been any other way but through God. And so your mind can be renewed by coming to Bible study, by hearing a word of encouragement, by someone saying, look what God did for me. And you're saying to yourself, well, if God did it for them, why can't he do it for me? Why can't he deliver me? And the truth is, he can. It says, so your mind can be renewed through knowledge, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, when you understand the image that God has called us to, after him that created him. And as I said, it is a process. It's not a destination. Philippians 3:10. This is such a powerful scripture. I mean, all the scriptures are powerful, and I say it about every scripture, but it just hits me, that I may know him. Paul was almost at the end of his life, one of the greatest apostles, and he says, that I may know him. That means there is always more for us to know about Jesus. There's a deeper depth and a higher height that we can get to. We can walk more and more in power and knowledge and love and grace and truth. Amen? Amen. That I may know him. Let's say that. That I may know him. You see, because you know him in your mind. Let's say it one more time. There is a power in speaking out some of these words. You need to speak to yourself sometimes. Doesn't care who's around you. Speak it out into the air, because there is a power in the word that you speak. And of course, the behavior of a new mind. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, and really in the Hebrew, that is in your mind, so he is. So if I think I'm no good, and I keep telling myself that, I'm not going to be very successful. The one good thing about my mother is that she always inspired me and told me I could do anything. She just kept pushing. She's the one I think that I credit most with the always looking at the glass as half full. Because she would tell me, you can do anything. And you know what? I believed her. Do you know what God is telling you? Through Christ, I can do. Question is, do you believe him? How many times does he have to tell you? I was a small child. And remember what we said on Tuesday, except he become converted. So because I was a small child and she kept on telling me, you can do anything. You are smart. You're clever. I just believed her. And it wasn't a belief in pride. It was just a belief that I'm going to try this. And I still have that attitude. I go into jobs and I've never done it before. And I say, okay, I can do all things. Not in myself, but in renewed thinking with a new mind. I can do all things through Christ. Amen. You need to speak to yourself. Speak to yourself in the morning, Monday morning. You say some of these things out loud. Just say it until you believe it. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. It's like I used to write songs. I haven't written songs for many years. But when I used to write songs, people say, well, why don't you copyright it? You know, as if someone would steal it. And I would say, well, the reason is I haven't written my best song yet. I still haven't written my best song yet. You understand what I'm saying? You can't steal what God has given you. Amen. It's not possible. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let the devil attack you. You go out tomorrow with truth, having everything surrounding you with the words of these scriptures as your sword. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace. That's what I'm hoping for. That is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is, again, really to me, because I really have to not look inwards. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So you need to start thinking, God loves me. I am more than a conqueror through him. I am his child. He is doing things specially for me. You know, we taught that lesson about John the Baptist, but John the Apostle. And he always described himself as what? The apostle whom Jesus loved. That's how he went around describing himself. And you know what? He believed that. And you know what happened? All the other apostles believed it too. You know why? He must have been saying it. He must have said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. He went around saying, I'm the apostle who Jesus loves. What he didn't know is that other apostles didn't know, he loved all of them the same. Except John claimed it. John was the only one who would claim, Jesus loves me. Peter put it the other way, I love him. But that's not strong enough. His love for Jesus was not strong. See, that's the old thinking. I can be strong enough to love God. But when you put the new think, you say, he's strong enough to love me. Amen? Let's say that, Jesus loves me. That's another one you got to say till you believe it. And if you say it till you believe it, you know what will happen? You'll start to smile. I'll tell when you believe it, when you start to smile. When you truly believe it, you'll start to smile. Because if that doesn't give you joy, I don't know what will. Let's say it again. Jesus loves me. Some of you aren't saying it. Come on now. Jesus loves me. You say that to yourself. Have a new thinking tomorrow morning. You're a new creature. A new creature. The devil will say, hath God said? And you tell him, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Amen. I'm going to stop. Finally, when we come to the renewed mind, it's got to be a total transformation. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, in the stock market, they have a strategy for investing. They call it contrarianism. And the way that works is you do opposite to whatever the market's doing. So if the market's going down, you buy when people are selling. If it's going up, then you sell when people are buying. See, we got to be opposite to this world. We got to be showing joy when they're all sad because we have something to give. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Just like our symbol for this lesson has been a butterfly, a new creation. You may go in as a little ugly little moth, but come out as a grub. grub. But you come out as a beautiful butterfly. The world may see us just crawling around and we have no names and we're nobody. We're not celebrities or anything. But one of these days we're going to come out of that cocoon and spread our wings. Because we have a transformed mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. I've just put a little bit of breadcrumbs about some of the ways we can renew our mind. Can you stand with me? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you do that, you will be able to prove what is that good, what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. Wouldn't it be great if we could always walk in God's perfect will? That doesn't mean there won't be trials and tribulations, because the devil's not going to leave you alone. But you'll be able to smile at him sweetly and say, "Devil, God hath said. God hath said. And he has covered me this time, not with a coat of skins, not with some blood shed by a bull or a goat, but by the blood of the Savior." Amen. Hebrews said that could the blood of bulls and goats could not fix it. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, we now have a high priest, an advocate, who ever liveth to make intercession for me. And that's why I'm perfect. Because it's my day of atonement. I'm still in the day of atonement. I'm still under the covering. And so I'm going to look not at myself, but at the breastplate of his righteousness. And tomorrow I'm going to tell myself, I'm perfect. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And be ye transformed. I tell you, if we were to just do a little of what I said tomorrow morning, when you speak it out. Don't be embarrassed. Find the bathroom then and speak some words out into the atmosphere. And see if something doesn't happen this week. Put down the old thinking. It's a crazy person keeps doing the same thing and expects a different result. But you need to speak out words of faith through a transformed mind. And then you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We're going to close this Sunday school. I hope you'll put some of these things into being tomorrow. Tell the devil he's a liar. You're going to put down the stinking thinking and be renewed. Say some things that you'd be surprised you can even say it, because the Bible will come and the devil will come and try and put doubt and say, "Who are you?" Well, I'm a child of the King. I've put on his breastplate of righteousness. It's no longer the breastplate of judgment. It's the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord.